right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. Real special treat for you today. We're going to be talking with a creator about his new book that's on stands today as this podcast is being released. It's my pleasure to welcome back Rob Liefeld to the show. Rob, thanks for joining me.
Hey, good to see you, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I hope you and your family are safe in these crazy times.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very much so. Same to you.
Awesome. Yeah. We're doing great. But I'm really excited to talk about the book that you have coming out today from IDW, Snake Eyes.
So
how do you tell our listeners kind of what it's all about?
Well, before I go into the backstory, up front, it is just kind of a deep dive into the world of these G.I. Joe characters that I've loved my entire life, and with Snake Eyes kind of the head of the spear. And that is an appropriate description because Snake Eyes himself is a weapon of war. And this is very much a story that examines weapons of war, not only current weapons of war, but mythological weapons of war throughout history. And some of them may be needed in the battle against this ancient evil that has been resurrected in our first act, which is the opening 27 pages of Snake Eyes Dead Game. So I hope everybody checks it out, enjoys the ride.
Matt, it sounds like you're going back old school. I remember the first five-part G.I. Joe cartoon when I was a kid, where they were out searching for different MacGuffins to power this weapon. It sounds like you're really drawing inspiration from what you loved about G.I. Joe as a kid.
Yeah, and I'm trying to give them a central, really terrifying bad guy who, with the possession of what we call the Sword of the Dead, and also short form the Dead Sword, can command all the armies of the dead. So they can bring Grandma out of the grave if they so choose as part of this Dead Game initiative, if it is enacted by our bad guy, who obviously needs the sword, but has proven throughout history to be the ultimate conduit, because clearly you and I just can't pick up the sword. It would sap us and we would become one of the dead to be commanded by the Sword of the Dead. But we open with what I call a Peter Jackson flashback to an ancient time where the Sword of the Dead was put through its paces. And you'll kind of see over the several issues how that worked out. It's clues to where Snake Eyes needs to go. And again, he will need several of these in order to combat this bad guy. I really wanted to do something mythological, something more grand scheme, rising above just standard Cobra versus Joe. This is a villain that doesn't care about either of them, has no affiliation with Cobra or Joe, and will become clearly a target of both of their interests. So,
yeah, what I found interesting, and we don't want to spoil. We want people to pick it up. We want them to read the whole series. But we get a glimpse of the villain in the first issue. But I get a sense that maybe we're not seeing him in his final form, so to speak.
Oh, no. That is not. He is literally in a bloody mummy wraps, but we have not unwrapped him yet. Yeah, no, but we tried to do some interesting stuff. Again, even given that we have a mummy, somebody who's mummified, I tried to do something with his wrappings that no one I'd seen. I hadn't seen anybody do kind of some of that prior, or at least it hasn't come across my eyes in film, movies, or cartoons. So I may be kidding myself thinking I'm getting to it first, but we tried to have fun. But it's clear he's tired. He's literally just been awakened. There is a great sacrifice in order to enact his resurrection. And like I said, we are off to the races. But I think Snake Eyes and the Joes are queued up to the fact that this is a big deal by the end of the issue. I think your villain always defines your hero. You know, the consequences are what matters, the challenge. And so everybody's up for it.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to see kind of what his final form is. I bet you had a lot of fun designing the villain. Did you draw from any inspirations on kind of his final look, or did you just kind of let yourself go crazy with the imagination?
I wish I knew what was going through my head. I mean, I always kind of revisit old Shogun, somewhere between Shoguns medieval knights and barbarians. That's always kind of my go-to three sources for these kind of armored warriors and kind of end visual that I go to. I'll mix and match. But yeah, I hope you'll be happy too. Again, it's you're trying to design something that is fresh. So
now in the continuation of the Marvel series, the one that Larry Hama is so noted for and continues to write for IDW, the original Snake Eyes is dead. So obviously this is not, you know, in that continuity necessarily, but IDW has many G.I. Joe universes. Right. So is there anything that readers would need to know? Or, you know, if you're just a fan of Snake Eyes like I am, or a fan of G.I. Joe, you can just pick this up fresh and you don't need to know anything going in.
Yeah, they asked when they called and asked if I'd be interested in doing this. I was not aware of current continuity. It's years behind me from wherever I, you know, left off. And so I just pitched a story and, you know, it had to be approved, obviously, by Hasbro, who is the master licensor and owns G.I. Joe, and then pushed through IDW. So that happened. And again, they just told me it's no different than when I contracted to do Deadpool Bad Blood a few years back, 100-page graphic novel that came out. That was when I got it, I called up the publisher and said, well, is there some sort of pocket of continuity I need to fit him into? Is there some stuff I want to respect everything that's twirling around right now that I may not have seen that's not coming out for 3 months? And they said, no, Rob, we don't have any continuity rules for Deadpool. Every story matters and it doesn't matter if they connect. Like we just throw them all out there. So I'm assuming that G.I. Joe and Snake Eyes are operating under the same, maybe this happened 7 years ago, maybe it happened 7 years from now. It really, if you pick up the book and go, you should enjoy it.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you're really pulling from the best of what we used to do with our G.I. Joe toys as kids, right? Like we just got the toys out. We just made up stories and we had a blast.
That's right, buddy. That's it. No, that look, I mashed my first G.I. Joe is Kung Fu Grip G.I. Joe. It's on the box behind me. I'm not, you know, that's not some word I can't say. If I'm reading the box, it says Kung Fu Grip. And these times I'm very careful about that, but it's identified. That's how he was sold. That is my 1974 12-inch G.I. Joe Adventure Team Joe Colton. And I was determined to put him alongside Snake Eyes, and you'll have to pick up issue one and see how I did. So exactly. Just mashing them up in the sandbox, man.
So did you have trouble, you know, being that you have all these ideas, G.I. Joe's been, you know, a part of your life, part of your childhood. Did you have trouble picking a story for Snake Eyes that you wanted to tell, or were you able to get focused?
This was it. This is the only story I had. This is like I said, this gives me my own path. Again, I don't need to go into years with a continuity. That's Larry's thing. I don't want to look, when I went to the X office, I dovetailed and did some cute stuff, adding to the mythos that Chris Claremont had worked so hard to build, but I didn't really barge in and change anything. I went into my own path. The only tether is that, Cable was Nathan Summers, but otherwise Shatterstar, you know, Domino, Deadpool, Strife, these are all brand new elements that I brought to kind of carve my own, you know, path. And I feel like I'm doing that here with Snake Eyes as well. I mean, I couldn't possibly fit in all of the Joes either. I had to cherry pick my favorite, you know, of the bunch and move forward from there. But yeah, no, this was the only story I had. This was the story that made sense to me, that put the hero through the paces. And, you know, like I said, we'll see. I have had an enormous amount of people who have enjoyed my X-Force and my Deadpool work, who have said they have never, just this morning on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, I have never picked up G.I. Joe. I am picking it up as a result of you. So that makes me feel good. I'm trying to do my childhood a solid. When I signed on to do G.I. Joe, and after IDW called me and said, you know, maybe now is the time, we should talk, you know, and I was definitely, it was on my bucket list. I went to two stores here in Orange County. Neither of them carried G.I. Joe. It was a subscription only, Pop Comics in Anaheim, Torpedo Comics. Neither of them put G.I. Joe on the shelves. They said, we'd be happy to add it as a subscription, but we don't carry it for the shelves. And look, you would have thought that would have discouraged me, but I love challenges. And I really walked out of both stores hot under the collar and with a fury to, I mean, I literally was like, what do you mean you don't carry G.I. Joe for the shelves? Like, my childhood was offended. Right. So I have poured everything I had. I literally got copies of Snake Eyes last night, and I could not be more pleased with how it turned out. The production values are high. I like the way the book moves, the page design, the layouts. It's more than drawing faces and figures. Chad Bowers, I hand-selected him based on the work we did on Deadpool to come with me over here. He did a great job dropping script over my story. My inker, Adelso Corona, and my colorist, Federico Blee, just knocked it out of the park. I'm really pleased with the package, so I can get out and be as positive about it as I possibly can.
Yeah, so I get press copies from IDW, so those usually come in on Friday, and as soon as they hit my inbox, I couldn't wait to check it out.
Terrific.
I really enjoyed it, Rob. I can't wait for issue two.
Well, thank you. It's full of, there's more 1974 coming at you, buddy.
I can't wait. You mentioned that it was tough. You know, this is a story you wanted to tell, but it was tough to have enough real estate to really be able to put all the Joes in that you wanted. Any thought to maybe doing more G.I. Joe in the future?
I would love to. If the reception of this is strong, like I said, the fact that it looks like based on our sales, we are doing, I accomplished what I set out to do is to get G.I. Joe back in your face, get it being sampled. There are times, and Stephen King wrote about this, I've talked about it on my Rob Observations podcast, there are times when pop culture characters fade, Tarzan, Lone Ranger, the Phantom, Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, staples of my dad's youth, my father, when he was a young man, these were everywhere. These were the cereals. These were the toys, the movie cereals. These were on TV. And Stephen King writes in Batman 400, how he was concerned Batman was going away, and he had every reason to be concerned. World's Finest was canceled. Brave and the Bold was canceled. Batman was now being shoehorned into team books to be like the Teen Titans. And the Legion of Superheroes, which were the two best-selling titles suddenly for, you know, DC Comics. So you've taken two Batman comics off the ledger. He was down to Batman and Detective Comics from having Batman Family, from having Brave and the Bold, from having World's Finest. And so Stephen King said he was really concerned. He felt like Batman is on the precipice of going away. And then one day Frank Miller showed up with Dark Knight, and I was there. I was 17 years old, and I am telling you right now, anyone who fails to give Frank Miller for where Batman is today is blind. They are ignorant, willfully or otherwise. Frank re-energized Batman. You see Frank's Batman in the Chris Nolan movies. You see it in the Zack Snyder stuff, in the animated stuff. So he completely rejuvenated Batman. I am not drawing comparisons with what I am doing with Snake Eyes, but somebody has to stand up and go, I refuse to let this property not be carried. And why don't you check it out? And maybe, you know, you'll follow Snake Eyes into further adventures now. But I would love to return, stay with G.I. Joe in some capacity. And hopefully Hasbro really likes what we did and feels the same.
Well, I hope it's really successful, too, because I feel like, and the thing that I still remember from the G.I. Joe cartoons and comics, and I still pick up G.I. Joe monthly, it's the idea of teamwork and camaraderie. That's what I think really makes it special.
Sure.
And that's still a universal theme that's needed today.
You're not going to get any argument from me. I mean, it's such a vast cast. There's something for everybody. And I love these characters that I utilized in the first issue. And going forward, you know, you're going to get a lot more surprises. And again, maybe some reasons to go back and dive further back into G.I. Joe's history.
All right, well, let's shift gears here a little bit, Rob. I wanted to ask you, obviously, with this global pandemic and the coronavirus and such, and it's a challenging time for retailers, and you've been doing your best to help them out. Can you tell everybody what you've been doing to kind of help retailers out?
Backbone of our industry, you know, if they don't have the comics, you can't access them tomorrow. And as you know, for the better part of 3 months, there were no new shipments. There were no comics. I was one of my good friends has a comic store on the Circle of Orange here in Orange County. It's also called the Orange Plaza. And I was there when they got the call from the county to shut down. And I saw the fear and the panic and the concern and what are we doing and how are we going to do this? And, you know, to many retailers' credits, they went online immediately. They went to digital sales, Facebook Lives, Instagram Lives. They did a great job in that regard, but still they needed some help. And I felt retail community needed some help. I needed some therapy. And I really felt like if I could draw some pictures and maybe put them up for auction. And the most important thing for me was that the money never touched my hands. It went from the winner of the auction to the recipient, to the store. So that was extremely important to me that whoever won the art was the one who was supplying the payment directly to the store. And I'm going to tell you, I really was not prepared for how much it helped stores out. And that really kind of took me by surprise. It touched me. It emboldened me. I have actually several that I need to get out in regard. I need to share more that I have to help retailers out. I'm not done by a long shot, but Snake Eyes suddenly had to come into focus, and I had to finish that book and be part of the coloring, the production, and it took me away. But we were able to raise $70,000 direct to, I think 20 stores. We tried to, give every store roughly in the same, $3,500. Some got a little more than that because, some items went further, but I tried to, especially in the last batch, the last 10, make sure that everyone was getting the same amount of money. I know that there were plenty of people putting their great time and effort. I was not alone in doing this. I was, however, the only person getting stores paid personally, and making sure that those payments went directly to those people. And I needed to keep it above board. I needed to keep people informed. That's why I would always say which store was receiving from which auction, because I wanted full transparency. And in case anyone who wanted to doubt what I was doing, they could call the buyer and the store and get the same story. So that was really important. And I think it really did go a long way. Also, I had to do due diligence on the stores. What started slowing things down was I'd get recommendations for stores. I obviously didn't want to just take care of Southern California. So we made sure that stores in Seattle and Florida and Texas and Ohio and Michigan all got taken care of. But I had to vet those stores, see, is this store still open? Is this a guy who's already closed and is now just going to take this to go, you know, for a vacation? You want the money to go to continue to run the store or pay the store employees, correct? So, yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that. I really do believe there was a couple of those that I was, flat out, I was crying, drawing them. I was, we started that 2 weeks into the pandemic, and it was, I can't tell you how therapeutic it was, just to kind of sketch freely, pick a character, hope it's, raises some money that can go to a store. And like I said, it emboldened me to keep going. So, I was helped as much as the stores.
Well, as a comic fan, Rob, I really have to thank you, because it wasn't just that you were providing monetary support. You were providing visibility. You were showing that, as successful as you've been, you're a legend in the industry, Deadpool and all the success you've had, you still care about the retailers. You're still doing what you can for the industry. I mean, it's a tough time right now, but you take away this pandemic, the comic industry is doing pretty good right now, right?
It is doing, honestly, it's doing, it, we are resilient. We're fighters. Let me tell you something. The people who are in this, and this is what you're speaking to when you're talking about what I'm doing, I have a passion for this. It's not lip service. I know people who tell me all the time how much they love comics, and they don't make comics anymore. If you love comics, make a comic. Okay. Make a comic. I'm making comics. I'm making comics. I did 100 pages the year before. I did 100 pages the year before that. I'm doing over 100 pages this year. That's only 5 issues worth of work. I'm 52 years old, but that's, That's my passion. I can't live without drawing a comic. And I hear other people who want to get on their pedestals and tell us how comics should be and we should save the industry. But I'm like, well, why aren't you drawing a comic then? Why don't? Because people would buy a comic if you drew it. Stop sitting around and talking about it. And maybe for the first time in 25 years, draw a comic book. You know, make 22 pages. Snake Eyes number one is 27 pages plus a million covers. But, you know, we had a great time. It's my passion. You're either living comics or you're not. And the people in comics and the retailers in comics didn't open stores to get rich. It's because they had their passion and that's how they wanted to contribute to the comics industry. And with many of these stores, they have figured out how to make a good living doing it and provide for others with their employees. So, but as I said, one of my stores in the pandemic went to the online space. They ended up hiring three more employees than what they already had to fulfill all the mail order. So when you say it's resilient, I'm telling you, there's been a reawakening also. I think people have engaged in comic books because there are no movie theaters. There are no bookstores. There's no coffee shops to hang out in. And I had a friend, an older friend of mine, was over early in the pandemic, fixing. He's also our fix-it man, and he was fixing a broken faucet and fan that we had in our bathroom. And he was asking me about how the pandemic was going. And then when I told him how well online comic sales were going, he said, "You know what? I have found that people in this pandemic have looked to their youth and the comforts of their youth in ways that they never have." He said, a friend of mine has gone full bore into stamps and coin collecting. And through both of those, he said he's gone into it bigger than he ever has in his entire career. And he said that he doesn't surprise me that comics are experiencing the same. Because honestly, it is a comfort. This is a comfort that we're experiencing. And the comforts of comics are not going anywhere, and they're cheap entertainment. This is my big point that I want to drive home. I can't go pay $12 to see a movie anymore. I can't pay $60 to take my family to a movie. But, you know, I absolutely can buy a couple of $4 or $5 comic books and pore over them for hours. But it's something I think should be passed along to friends and family right now, because they may be more open to comic books at this point than they have ever been ever.
Yeah, it's a good point. You're seeing it on things like eBay and all kinds, you know, back issues are going crazy. So it's great. Well, Rob, I know you're busy. I know you have other people to talk to about G.I. Joe. So I really want to thank you for your time. But one last thing before you leave, I do want to bring it up. You mentioned it yourself. You have your own podcast now, Robservations with Rob Liefeld. Do you want to tell everybody where they can find it and kind of what your inspiration for doing it was and what you talk about on the podcast?
So the Robservations podcast is something I also started out of passion and, quite frankly, loneliness. When you have just a small group of friends that you talk to and they are not, we're all kind of locked down, not doing much, the conversations got a lot shorter. My son said, I talked about doing a podcast. My son said, look, I can get you a mic. I know exactly what you need. He said, give me your order, send me the money. Give me the money. I'll take care of you, Daddy. Brought me back this Blue Yeti. I started talking into it. We got it carried on many of the platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, whatever I'm not mentioning. My website is, I have a dedicated website for my podcast. I talk about my passion for comics, my love for comics, and I am carrying people from my own experiences collecting all the way through up until where I'm at now, which is going to take a while, but it's a journey. And if you want to take it with me, I'd love to have you guys along.
Has it been a lot of fun for you? It's kind of therapeutic.
Another form of therapy, brother. 100%. 100%. Another form of therapy.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, best of luck with G.I. Joe. Again, Rob, thanks so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and be safe.
Okay. Thanks again, buddy. Take care of yourself.
You bet. Take care. Bye.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.